This is Senior Talk, presented by Heartfelt Care at Home on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM and 92.5 FM. Here is your host, Greg Koopman.
Good morning and welcome to Senior Talk, presented by Heartfelt Care at Home, right here and only on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM and 92.5 FM. I'm Greg Koopman, your host for Senior Talk, founder and owner of Heartfelt Care at Home, Colorado Springs' most trusted senior in-home care provider. Be sure to visit us online today at heartfeltcareathome.com. Joining us in the studio this morning, return guest, our friend Kent Matthews from the Area Agency on Aging Family Caregiver Support Center. I think you have a much longer title than that, Kent, but needless to say, thank you for coming back, joining us again here on Senior Talk.
Oh, you're welcome. I love coming in and spending time with you and talking about family caregivers and what's going on in their lives and how things are going for them in the community and everything. So thank you for asking me back.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on. Now, what is your official title? Give me that nice, long, official title.
So whenever I'm at a meeting and I introduce myself, I usually say, hi, I'm Kent Matthews. I work at the Pikes Peak Area Council of Governments, Area Agency on Aging, and I do the Family Caregiver Support Center.
Fantastic. All right, so for listeners who may not have heard you on the show here in the past, take a few moments, share with our listeners a little bit about your background and really what kind of led you to doing what it is you do today.
So my background, I'm a social worker, and this is my second career. My first career was I worked in the church as a youth and education director, and then went back to school, got my master's degree, and started social work. I did 15 years of hospice social work, and then transitioned over to the Area Agency on Aging. And I'm a helper at heart, and I like helping people and supporting them. And I discovered that love when I was doing hospice work. And I needed to make a transition and shift on how I was helping family caregivers. And the opportunity came up to do the Family Caregiver Support Center at the Area Agency on Aging. And I have loved it ever since. So
fantastic. So the Area Agency on Aging, I have found, at least, you know, here in Colorado and probably throughout the country, you know, a lot of regions have Area Agencies on Aging. What is the Area Agency on Aging?
So Area Agencies on Aging, real briefly, they're mandated by federal law under the Older Americans Act. And their original purpose back in the 60s when that act was first passed was to assure that there were resources in the community for seniors to help them live independently and to age in place as they continue to grow older. And so that's been the whole focus for an Area Agency on Aging. Back in about 2000, 2002, when the act was reauthorized by Congress, they added that area agencies needed to provide more focused and specific support to family caregivers. And so what our area agency did here in the three-county area that we serve, which is El Paso, Teller, and Park County, we basically go up the pass, is they set up the Family Caregiver Support Center. And the whole purpose for the support center is for me and my staff to sit down. We meet with family caregivers. We listen to what their caregiving situation is. We identify resources for them that will help them with that situation. We give them information on how to access the resources. And then we begin helping them to think about a plan, meaning the resources we give them are to help them with the problem they just stated. But most caregivers are moving from problem to problem to problem, and they aren't thinking ahead. And so what we do is we help them to begin think ahead about, so what's going to happen as things continue to change? What's going to happen as things continue to get worse? And they oftentimes will say, well, what do you mean change? Or what do you mean by getting worse? And we'll gently explain what we mean by that. And then encourage them to start thinking about two or three steps ahead. And the benefit of doing that is it puts them ahead of the curve and it helps lessen their stress, because now they're thinking about, ooh, I'm seeing this going on, so that means more changes are coming, so that means I'm going to be needing to use some of the other resources that we identified for them in that initial consultation.
Absolutely. And you know, it's we don't know what we don't know, right?
Exactly.
You know, that's the hard part to it. And I always equate, you know, navigating the aging process as trying to put together a puzzle blindfolded. And you gave a great visual today before the show, Kent, as far as using an actual puzzle. Fill our listeners in on that, you know?
So as we were talking and I was doing a presentation in the community and I had a small 350-piece puzzle. And before I started the presentation, I opened up the box and just threw the pieces all over the room and basically said, these are what the resources for family caregivers. And so I went around and started to pick up the pieces and said, our responsibility at the Family Caregiver Support Center is to say, this piece connects with this piece. This piece connects with these two pieces. These pieces are outliers for right now, but eventually you may connect to those. And so that was the visual I gave them as to all of these resources are not the total answer, but you have to put them together in a way that makes sense, that gives benefit to the care receiver and the caregiver.
Yeah, you put them in the right order. The right pieces need to connect with the other ones. And the hard part is the pieces that connect together for me may not be the pieces that connect together for you. I think
Perfect.
That's the unique dilemma that's thrown into it, is there's not a cookie cutter way to approach aging. There are resources and there are almost an infinite number of resources out there. It's finding the right ones, having the right resource to help you navigate that is truly the key. We're going to get it out several times during today's show. What is the best way that listeners can get in contact with you and the folks over at the Family Caregiver Support Center at the Area Agency on Aging?
The best way to get in contact is by calling 719-471-2096, and I'm at extension 115. If you forget the extension number, just call the 719-471-2096 and ask for the Family Caregiver Support Center, and that will get you connected to me or one of my staff. My email address is K and then Matthews, M-A-T-H-E-W-S, at ppacg.org. That's another good way to connect with me. The phone number that I just mentioned, if you're familiar with our resource, the Yellow Book, and we're in the process of putting the 2020 version together right now, that phone number is on the bottom on the cover of the Yellow Book, and that's the best number to get a hold.
Fantastic. And we'll be sure to cover that a couple more times during today's show. So I want to dive in. I want to specifically talk about, you know, family caregivers. You're the Family Caregiver Support Center. I think a lot of times folks might not identify themselves as a caregiver. You know, maybe we're just doing the obligation that we have as a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife.
Right.
But what or who, rather, is a family caregiver?
So for us, a family caregiver is anybody who is not being paid to provide the support or the care. And it can be like a blood relative, like a spouse or an adult child or a granddaughter or a grandson or a cousin or a nephew. So it could be blood, but it could also be the concerned neighbor next door or the concerned member at church who knows that something's going on, and so they're coming over and helping with things. And oftentimes, and this is why I think caregivers don't see themselves as caregiving, is because it starts in very small ways. It starts in the ways that, because as human beings, we are wired to take care of each other. And so when we see somebody in need, more often than not, we will do very simple things to help them. Like, we know they're having difficulty getting to the pharmacy to pick up meds. So we may offer to take them to the drugstore, or we may offer to stop by and pick it up and then bring it home, or maybe stop by and pick up some few things from the 7-Eleven or the grocery store and bring that back in, the little stuff. And then what happens is, as things continue to change, the person is finding themselves doing more and more. And then they hit this emotional spot where they don't know what to do, because it started out as being helpful, but now they feel like they're getting sucked into something that's more complex and more difficult and demanding more time than what they really know what to do with. And that then is where they have to figure out, what am I going to do? Because I know this person needs help, so where do I go and who do I talk to try to get them the help that they need. And that's usually when we get calls into the Family Caregiver Support Center saying, you know, I've been helping my neighbor or the daughter who moved mom from Ohio, and it was working out well, but now mom's medical conditions are getting worse and worse, and she's doing more and more physical care, and she's just in over her head because this isn't what she signed up for, but this is her mom. So what do I do? How do I deal with all of that? And so usually it's that emotional stress that then finally is the trigger for them to pick up the phone and say, I got to figure this out some way, somehow. And that's when they call us.
It makes a lot of sense. You know, it's those triggers or those catalysts that really start making you wonder, worry, brainstorm, search, grasp for any help that may or may not be out there.
Right.
Is there any benefit to or any way to get family caregivers to identify themselves as a caregiver sooner? I mean, does that even benefit? I mean, to say, hey, look, if you're in this boat, caring for a loved one, caring for a neighbor, doing XYZ types of things, plan ahead because this is the likely road that's going to be coming your way.
So the answer to the question is maybe, kinda, sorta, but I don't know.
Who knows?
Who really? And part of it is because as we age, and depending on what's going on with us physically and emotionally, we can go down so many different forks in the road. And so the planning ahead is not as easy as doing financial planning.
Right.
Where I've got this pot of money and this pot of money, and this is what I know I want to do with it. Most of us, when we age, have no thought or concept of, I'm going to get sick, and this is how bad I'm going to get sick. We just don't go there as human beings. For a lot of good reasons. Yeah. And so that's what makes advanced planning really difficult. And the other part that makes it difficult is we don't begin to really remember or utilize the resources until we have something to use them for. And so a person could come in and I could go, their mom or dad could be perfectly healthy, and I could go through my whole spiel. But most of that information isn't going to stick because they have nothing to stick it to.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They don't have a problem to attach it to. And because they don't have a problem to attach it to, it just seems like nice information that becomes useless because they don't have to use it right now.
Right.
So I've thought of that question's a good question because I've thought about that time and time again. How do we get them in earlier? But in reality, it's okay that they hit the breaking point because then that gives them that starting point to help figure everything out. And then what they do with that and what they do with the information, because we not only give them information about how to help them with the physical care, but we give them information about how to help themselves emotionally, you know, like in terms of support group and counseling and courses that we teach to help caregivers thrive in the midst of all of the stress. And so that information then becomes very useful for them at that moment,
sure,
more than planning ahead.
Sure. So what we've learned is that there's not necessarily a way to plan in advance your needs as a family caregiver, even some of your needs as a person who's aging. We do a little bit, so it's different than typical advanced planning or planning your future or your retirement.
Right.
But the advanced planning we're going to take away from today is your phone number.
Right.
That's what
yes.
we're going to do.
Yes,
so
yes, yes.
Let's
Thank
get
you.
It out again.
The phone number is 719-471-2096, Family Caregiver Support Center, and I'm at extension 115.
So are there common scenarios that you're seeing family caregivers more involved?
Yeah, one of the most common scenarios is the phone call where the caregiver calls up and says, Mom moved in with us three, four months ago, and things aren't going the way we had thought, and it's much more difficult than what I had thought. I need some help figuring that out. The calls that I like along those lines are the adult son or daughter calling and say, we're thinking about moving Mom or Dad from Ohio or wherever they may be living. And so we want to find out what is available for when we move them here. And then when they come in, I'm able to say, so what's going on where they're at now? And this is the area agency where they're at there. And this is what we can do here. Because the other thing that caregivers don't realize is services, social services across this country are very fragmented and they're not homogeneous. Meaning if dad is getting certain services in Indiana to help him with staying independent and everything, when he moves here to Colorado, that doesn't mean he's going to get the exact same services.
Right.
And if we have those same services, he may not get it in the same way because of the different limitations and qualifications and everything else. So like I oftentimes when I'm making presentations, getting resources for your family members isn't like picking up the phone and ordering pizza.
Right.
You know, you can say, I need this and this and this, but a lot of times, you know, so if you did that with pizza, that would be like Pizza Hut saying, well, we can only give you a pizza that's 10 inches and it's only thin crust. And by the way, you can't have this topping or this topping. You know, with Pizza Hut, they just give it to you.
Yeah, your choices.
But when it comes to social services, especially if you're relying on public programs, there's limitations as to how those services are delivered, and it may not be a good match, which also then creates additional stress for the caregiver.
Well, it's important to highlight the timing of that, too. When you call and you order a pizza, you're going to get it tonight.
Right.
Or within a reasonable time, 30 minutes, an hour, especially right. if you're reliant on services and social services. It's not an overnight thing.
Right.
And even on the private side, like home care, you know, we'll get the call. I'm discharging from the hospital. It's 5 o'clock on a Friday night, and I need care now.
Right.
And this is what I need, ordering the pizza, if
right.
you will. And the reality is, how long have you been in the hospital? 2 weeks.
Right.
You've had 2 weeks. And this is where the failure of the system at large kind of comes in, where it's lack of planning from the start. And that's something we push really hard at Heartfelt is, you know, discharge planning should start at admission.
Yep.
Referral should happen at admission.
Right.
So you do have the options. You do have basically the pathway to success.
Right.
Rather than limited options and you get what you get.
So along those lines, my thinking is, and I started this when I was doing hospice work, but one of the reasons why that discharge planning doesn't necessarily start upon admission to the rehab is because everybody's hoping for the best.
Yep.
And everybody's hoping that, you know, this is where mom and dad were at this level. They had this, whatever it was, and so they dropped way down. And so now the purpose for the rehab is to get them back up to that original level. And that's what everybody's hoping for. And then when you get 2 days away and they're ending the rehab and you realize that mom and dad aren't back to where they were, that's what sets everybody into a panic. That's why then you get the phone calls, I get the phone calls about saying, this is what's going on. How quickly can we get the service? What do you mean we can't get it?
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Do you think there's an honesty or a transparency factor that goes with that, where the system, if you will, is afraid to be realistic? And I don't want to be the, you know, burst the bubble, but I mean, the reality is, you know, we're hoping if we do this, we do this, we do this, we do this, we're going to get back to where we were. And the reality is, at least in the 17 years I've been doing this, very rarely are we going to get back to where we were.
Right.
And it doesn't seem like people are acknowledging that or having that conversation. And again, that's the opens the door for the planning side of, if we don't get back to where we were, what are our options? What does that path look like? What can we do?
So I think that has more to do with how we're wired to think, because our society trains us to be doers. Do this, do this, do this, do this. And we value ourselves by what we do. When you have multiple chronic conditions or whatnot, your ability to do is lessened. So that means you're fighting the emotional battle of my value has declined and decreased. And so I don't want to deal with what I can't do, because if I deal with that, then that means I'm acknowledging I have less value. So I want to try to stay in that area where I think I should be, I want to be, because that's where I get my value. And so we're not doing our emotional work right. In terms of this shift from doing to being. How do you do that dance? How do you live with any kind of a chronic condition and give your life value and meaning when you're doing less? And that's why for me, that's the crux as to why there's not a whole lot of transparency in the medical model, you know, in terms of rehab or anything else, is because we don't want to take away, quote, a person's hope by being realistic, because most people don't know how to have that conversation.
Right. Wow. Have you seen a shift kind of back to family members getting involved with their aging parents' care?
So, yes, but for me, it's not a shift back. It's a shift in realizing what we're actually doing. In our society, we have always, families have always cared for their family members, unless there's been huge family dynamics, you know, that shred the family apart.
Sure.
But mostly, we have this innate desire to take care of our family members. And so it's always been there. What I'm seeing now as a society is we're becoming more aware of how much family members really do. So it's not necessarily going back. It's just our awareness is increasing. And our awareness is increasing because the family caregivers are really the backbone of long-term care in this country.
Sure.
I think it's like less than 25% of people are living in care facilities.
Oh, yeah. It's a small fraction.
It's a very small fraction. So everybody else needing care, they're getting that from family, friends, neighbors, all of that. And so what's happening is that awareness is increasing, and we're trying to now catch up. And how do we get our societies, you know, social programs and whatnot in place to acknowledge the value and the work that they all do?
Are people more hesitant to reach out and accept the resources that are out there? That's something I was thinking as I was preparing for today's show. It seems like folks kind of enter that research phase or that planning phase, and then they just kind of stagnate. There seems to be a failure to act, to actually utilize some of the resources that are out there. Have you seen that as well?
Yeah. And I think the primary reason that it's not verbalized directly, but I'm reading between the lines, it has to do with the family member feeling like a failure. Because if I were able to do this well, I wouldn't have to be asking for help. It goes back to that doing versus being whole thing. You know, if I were doing this better, I wouldn't be required to ask for help. So there is perceived as some kind of a failure to be asking for the help. And that brings in that whole emotional issue that goes back and forth. It is a challenge. And the other part of that challenge is by the time they're realizing that they're needing to look at it, things have probably spun so far out of control that there's a lot of it's difficult for them to get away because they're being caught in the quagmire. I have caregivers who, when I say you need to do this well, you should come in and meet with me or one of my staff, and they'll say, but I can't get out.
Yeah,
I can't leave my husband alone.
Right.
Who's going to be there to take, you know? So that just tells me that this caregiving has isolated them.
Yeah.
And that then adds a huge amount of unnecessary stress emotionally and physically on the caregiver and the care receiver, because their support systems aren't there because they aren't being nurtured.
And you get this feeling of being trapped, and you don't have the time, the energy to do anything different.
Right.
And I think that's a huge component that we see. There are resources out there. It's amazing how fast our conversations go. We have just a few minutes left on today's show. We're going to bring you back here soon because, I mean, there's just so much more to talk about. If there is one piece of advice that you could give a listener who's maybe found themselves in a family caregiving role, or maybe today learned that they are a family caregiver, whether you're a spouse or an aging child or even a neighbor, you know, helping care for a loved one, an aging parent or an aging friend, one piece of advice that you could leave with our listeners today, what would it be?
It would be pick up the phone and call 719-471-2096 and ask for the Family Caregiver Support Center. And I'm grinning as I say that because you asked that question legitimately. It wasn't, you know, this passive lead-in to give the phone number again.
No, I have that later on.
So I know. But the reason I said that is because I have caregivers who come into my office all the time, and they admit that they're there because they're tired of they have talked to people, their friends, everybody in the community, and everybody's telling them, have you called the Family Caregiver Support Center? Have you talked to Kent? And after the fourth or fifth time, they're so tired of hearing about
they
it, they finally pick up the phone. But the beauty is, at the end, because I always check in to say, how has this helped? And how did it help? And they always say, it helped. I feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I can now make sense of stuff. I had no idea how helpful this would be. And so there's this constant undervaluing how coming in to talk to somebody to find out about resources and to get some basic emotional support.
Yeah.
You don't understand the value of that until you go through it and you feel it. And so that's why I said, yes, call the
Well, that's true. And again, we don't know what we don't know. And there is not a cookie cutter answer or approach to this. And you need help putting that puzzle together.
And the beauty of it is for a caregiver who has felt isolated and alone, now they know that there's a place that they can come to where somebody knows and understands, is not judging them, is not, you know, putting any kind of value on what they have or haven't done. It's purely, we understand, here are the resources, here's the emotional help and support, we get it, we understand, and we're here for you. And I've had caregivers tell me that the Family Caregiver Support Center is the first place where they have come to where somebody sat down and put the whole puzzle together for them.
Fantastic. Kent Matthews, Family Caregiver Support Center at our local area agency on aging. One more time, let's get that phone number out for our listeners.
Phone number is 719-471-2096. And when it's answered, ask for the Family Caregiver Support Center.
Excellent. Thank you so much again for coming in and sharing this knowledge with our listeners.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Before we go, I want to remind listeners that you can find out more information about Heartfelt Care at Home online at www.heartfeltcareathome.com or by giving us a call at 719-362-0094. That's 719-362-0094. Be sure to join us next Sunday and every Sunday at 8 a.m. right here and only on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM. For another edition of Senior Talk presented by Heartfelt Care at Home.